Here's the editor of Lenswork Publishing, Brooks Jensen.
One of the principles that I suspect you've probably observed if you've been following my podcast for a while is the idea that, yes, we can learn about photography by studying photography, but we can also learn about photography and our creative life by studying things that have nothing to do with photography, by just observing life, by observing ourselves, and learning by being sensitive to our reactions. And here's an example of that. In 2014, for reasons I've now long forgotten, I decided that it was time in my life that I read Tolstoy's War and Peace. It's a famous novel. It's a classic. Everybody who reads it says they're so glad they've read it. I'd never read it, so I decided I was going to give it a go. So after selecting a translation that I was comfortable with, I dove in, and I made it about, I don't know, maybe as much as 150 pages, maybe even 200 pages. And then I just couldn't go any further. I ended up putting it down, and I never picked it up again because I realized I didn't go into that project with sufficient commitment. It requires a huge commitment to read a 1,200-page novel. Or as far as that goes, I realized, it takes a huge commitment to look at a book of 400 photographs. And there are many of those out there that are major retrospectives and that kind of thing. You know, the big, thick photography art books. It takes a huge commitment to look at those things. And oftentimes, I just don't have that kind of commitment. Well, I noticed this about myself in 2014, that I simply didn't have the staying power to make it all the way through War and Peace. And that got me thinking about other things that lead to a new phrase. I'd never heard this before, at least not that I was conscious of. If I have, it went in one ear and out the other, and that is viewer fatigue. Well, I was having reader fatigue, and I could easily understand how viewer fatigue was a serious concern for any of us who are producing artwork. Because if someone can't get through our project because they get viewer fatigue, then we haven't really accomplished anything by producing it other than what we might have personally gained by finishing the piece of artwork. It led me into the idea of producing smaller, more consumable pieces of artwork. It was about that time that I was starting to think about how to present my own work in a self-published PDF, which eventually became titled Kokoro. And I suspect that a number of you have taken a look at my publication, Kokoro. For those of you who haven't, it's basically a short anthology. I put together little projects. Usually each issue of Kokoro has four projects, no more than six projects, each of them relatively short number of prints, maybe a half a dozen, maybe a dozen, maybe a couple dozen. But I tend to want to keep them short because of this issue of viewer fatigue. I know that a big, long 100-page or 100-image PDF is the same kind of thing as asking people to read War and Peace. It's just too much. It can't be consumed in a reasonable sitting. It requires too big a commitment for people to make, and so a lot of your work either gets quickly scanned through, or perhaps it doesn't get looked at all. Or maybe they look at the first dozen or so images, or two dozen or three dozen, and then they think, oh my goodness, there's so much of this to do, I'll just put it down. Big books, big groups of photographs, big websites, they can be too much because they require too big a commitment. After stewing on this for a while, I also realized that I had exactly the same response to lots of museum exhibitions or even gallery exhibitions. If they have too much, I tend not to want to either go or see them at all, or I'll feel overwhelmed or I get tired. And so much of the artwork that I might enjoy, I just end up blowing off because it's too much. So I needed a strategy. And one of the strategies that I developed for consuming artwork is to not try to consume too much on any given visit, whether it's a book or a gallery or a museum. Pick the number of pieces that I'm comfortable with and really spend a lot of time with them rather than trying to see it all or trying to see too much. It's sort of the same philosophy I have when I'm out photographing. I would much rather pick a location and stay there for a week or two, photographing it intensely and in different kinds of light, at different times of day, in different moods, etc., rather than be on the road where I'm photographing here on Tuesday and someplace else Wednesday and someplace else Thursday and go, 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 go. That kind of exposure out photographing is too big of a commitment. It's too overwhelming. I would rather know one place well than a couple of dozen places that I only penetrate to a very shallow depth. Same thing with a book, same thing with a museum. And so that became the guiding principle for the strategy behind Kokoro. And in fact, that was kind of inherited from the strategy behind Lenswork. Lenswork also is an anthology, as you know, and has the property of being easily digestible in chunks. You don't have to go through the entire issue of Lenswork at once. You can do each portfolio in a sitting. And each portfolio is going to have 5, 10, 15, 20 images, so it's fairly easy to get through any given project in one sitting. Which was a strategy I picked up after I'd read a large Dickens novel. I read Bleak House. And then I decided after that I wanted to pick up War and Peace, and as I've already mentioned, I failed at that, and I thought, you know, I need to not pick up another big book for a while. I need some short stories. So I started reading lots and lots of short stories that I could get into and out of in 20 minutes, in a half an hour, in 45 minutes at the most. I found it absolutely delightful. I found that kind of consumption much more consistent with the kind of hectic life that we all seem to lead these days. With all the media that's vying for our attention, with all the titles of whether it's movies or books or newspapers or magazines or whatever, they're all vying for our attention. So the idea of having one thing, one big book or one big visit to a museum or seeing 60 prints in a gallery exhibition, those are just not practical ways for lots of people these days. And I guess I'm one of those. I much prefer to break up the big thing into chunks, which either means an anthology like Lenswork or Kokoro that has a group of small projects that make the bigger thing. Or with novels, it became short stories. Or when I go to a museum, I'll do one room or one section of the museum. And I'd rather go in and study all of those and sort of know them a little more deeply under the faith that I will have another visit to that museum at some point down the road, and I can go to a different room and spend some time with a different group of artwork. But each time I do, I'm adding to my knowledge base and my experience, and over time, it'll grow. So returning to photography books, because that's such an important way in which we consume photography these days, I find I just can't pick up a photography book, unless it's a very small one, and go through the entire book cover to cover in a single sitting. It's going to take multiple sittings. And if I try to do too much, I've noticed this about myself that I think is not good, and that is I'll find myself flipping through the pages of the photography book fairly quickly. That is to say, I'm only giving each individual image in the book maybe a second or two or three. That's really a disservice. to the work. It's a disservice to the photographer. Most importantly, it's a disservice to myself because spending so little time with a photograph, I'm not likely to have much of a relationship with it. I'm not likely to get much out of it. I'm not likely to see enough depth that it really becomes a fulfilling and meaningful experience. I wish I could wave some magic wand and generate all kinds of energy so that I could stick with a long book or a couple of hundred photographs in a sitting, but I just can't. And quite honestly, the older I get, the more I feel that's becoming problematic. I just don't have the stamina that I had when I was in my 20s or my 30s. But what I do have that I didn't have in my 20s or 30s is a more discerning eye, a broader perspective of history, so that when I look at work, I can put it in the context of history and other work that I've seen. Unfortunately, I think society is pushing us in the other direction. We're all learning swipe left, swipe left, swipe right, swipe right. And we're being trained through Instagram and social media to look at images very, very quickly. Big books and big exhibitions fall in that category. They push us to spend less and less time with every image that we look at. And I'm pretty sure that's not good for us or the artwork. I would imagine that when Tolstoy wrote War and Peace, I don't know when, I can't remember now, but it was in the 1800s, that before television, before radio, before the diversions that we have in life, that a book of that size was maybe easier for people to get through because they either had the time to do so or they had the pace and patience to do so, which we don't have now. Is that theory true? I don't know. But I do know this, that I'm not alone in this idea of having viewer fatigue and having a difficult time committing to a big book, a big exhibition, or a big website. When I find someone's website that has 50 galleries in it, and each one of those galleries has a dozen or two dozen or three dozen images, I know damn well I'm not going to get through it. Certainly not in one sitting. Probably I'm going to have to come back several times. And the real question is, do I? A lot of times the answer is no. Between the time I stop viewing a portion of that website gallery and the next time I have an opportunity to do that, I've probably been bombarded by a whole bunch of other emails announcing new gallery exhibitions, introducing me to new photographers, etc. So the bottom line is, and I hate to admit this, but it's true, I spend less and less time finishing the consumption of someone's book or someone's group of photographs, or their website, or their PDF. And I suspect that's true of my work when people are looking at it. Hence, developing the strategy of dividing my work into smaller segments that are easily consumable as small chunks. The anthology approach. I know that when I go to workshops, oftentimes photographers will talk to me about the big project they're doing. They've been working on it for a year or two or five or whatever, and they've got 160 images, and they think they've finally got it ready for publication or for something. And I think, who do you think is going to look at this? Who do you think is going to have the time to go through all of those images? If it's 100 or 150 or 200 images. I think that's an unreasonable expectation. So the advice I find myself giving over and over again is think about dividing the work into consumable chunks, into smaller bits of a dozen images or so that people can actually get to in one sitting. I would love to think that my work is so strong and so powerful and so mesmerizing and so seductive that people can sit down and look through 100 or 200 images and never get tired and never get bored and never reduce their consumption to swipe left, glance. But I know in the real world, that's not a reasonable assumption. I know it's not partly because that's the behavior I see in myself, that I have no hesitation to read a short story. I have no hesitation to jump into a news article that's a dozen paragraphs. But if it's 3 pages, I'm not sure. And the creator part of me really resists that, because every one of these photographs that I've made are precious babies, and I love them, and I want them to go out into the world. I don't want them to get buried on my hard drive. And so the temptation as a creator is to make the projects bigger and bigger and to be looser and looser in my edit so that they can all get in. And then I have to come face to face with the reality that I know a sizable percentage of people, don't know what that is, but I know it's a bunch, are never going to be able to look at all those images. And so they either won't pick it up and look at it at all, or they'll race through it and look at all of them, but with a very shallow depth. Or they're only going to look at the first dozen or 2 dozen images, and then they'll put the book down and the rest of them will be lost forever. It would be lovely if our entire audience had the commitment to make it through all of our work that we would like them to see. But it's just not going to work that way, because we have the ability to make far more images than people are probably willing to consume. And not only are you and I able to make far more images, but everybody else in the world is able to make far more images than an audience is probably willing to consume. And so that truth tends to drive people away. We need to be sensitive. We need to have empathy for how difficult it is for people to make that kind of commitment to see a huge body of our work. As difficult as it may be, a strict editing procedure is probably our best friend, and the insurance policy that increases the odds that people will look at all of our work, or most of our work, and take the time to look at it more deeply and think about it, and maybe make an impression more substantially than they would ever get by glance, 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 swipe left, swipe left. There are factors within our artwork itself that can increase people's energetic viewing of our work that will prevent viewer fatigue. Things like do the best photography we can, make really interesting images, do our best to engage not only their visual sense, but their emotional sense, and even their intellectual sense as they look at our work. The more they will engage it, the more likely that they'll postpone viewer fatigue. But eventually, everybody is going to get viewer fatigue, because we can only absorb so much. What would you say if I said there's a really terrific movie I'd like you to go see, but it's 6 hours long? You'd say, well, can I see part one, part two, and part three? It's what they did with The Hobbit, what they did with Lord of the Rings, is they made all those movies out of it because they knew that was the only way they could get people to consume it. They could never show the entire sequence in one sitting. People won't do it. Same thing with our photography. I might add, this has also been the guiding strategy behind the Here's a Thought commentaries that I do every day. I know that there are some of you who listen to every podcast and every Here's a Thought, and I appreciate that, thanks. But I also know that there's a lot of people who don't have time for a 20-minute podcast. But they do have time every day with coffee or on their commute or when they've got 3, 5 minutes, 6 minutes to listen to a Here's a Thought and have those creative juices flowing, hopefully, as a result of what they're encouraged to contemplate. But long-form things, those are much more difficult, simply because that's the nature of being a human being alive, to consume things like media here in the 21st century. we might be highly motivated as artists to produce big things. But I think it's a much smarter strategy to think about what our viewers want to see. And I'm not talking about content. I'm not saying go out and make pretty pictures at sunset as your content. What I'm saying is the format of the presentation, the quantity of images in the presentation. Those are things that are worth thinking about in light of today's consumers. And hopefully we can create the full content of what we hope to create, but maybe in a little more clever presentation than the massive tomes that our forefathers put out in their giant photography books. For example, I'm not convinced that a modern-day family of man type of exhibition would do very well with today's audience. And I'm not sure a similar book would do well either, because I'm pretty convinced that there's just a lot of people who can't think in terms of that kind of consumption. And I can't think of any better example that illustrates that more than the one-hour television show. The half-hour television show has now been reduced to the 3-minute YouTube clip, and the 15-second or 30-second TikTok video. Life is being compressed in time, and we photographers had best not ignore that, or we're likely to find it harder and harder to find an audience that's willing to give us the commitment to view the work that we've sweat bullets to produce.
Copyright 2024, Lenswork Publishing.